Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Welcome to another edition of Pinstripe Talk. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. We have a lot to discuss today. We'll go over the Yankees' three-game sweep over the Toronto Blue Jays, and we'll discuss the 20th anniversary celebration of the 1998 World Series championship team. We'll also get into the injury to D.D. Gregorius and how that impacts the Bronx Bombers moving forward. Also, we'll take a look at the really great start to the second half for Miguel Andujar and Giancarlo Stanton, a major reason why the Yankees have been able to keep up since they've lost Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez due to injury. We'll also take a look at Greg Bird, who might be showing signs of getting back on track. And we'll also take a little bit of a look into the American League West and how that race can ultimately impact the Yankees down the stretch. Let's take a look at that series against the Blue Jays, and let's be honest, it didn't start the way that anybody expected it to. Lance Lynn really struggled in his first inning of work, allowed four runs before the Yankees even had a chance to hit, was able to settle down a little bit, ended up going four innings, allowing the five runs. Luckily, the Yankees' offense came to play. You saw a big home run from Walker in the fourth off of Marcus Stroman. Stanton had a home run later on in the game. The good thing about the Yankees is their offense keeps them in games. And we all know the struggles of the starting rotation. And, you know, you're going to have games like that. And Lynn's been pretty good since coming over in the trade before the deadline. However, he didn't have it. Yankees were able to capitalize, were able to get to Stroman early. Stroman ended up leaving the game. He did have a blister on his finger. I don't believe that was a cause for him leaving the game. It might have been a little bit of both. However, Stroman just hasn't been himself this year with his 5.27 ERA. Yankees were able to take advantage of that and get the first game of that series. A good start for the Yankees, especially against an American League East Division opponent, who we all know the Yankees have struggled against. If you look at their overall records against the American League East, they really haven't been able to capitalize against their division foes, which has really hurt them in the standings as they try to chase the Red Sox in the division. Then Saturday was a great day in the Bronx overall. Yankees honored that 1998 World Series championship team. 125 wins is still a major league record. And that team, growing up, is, of course, a team that will always be remembered. But for me personally, is a team that made me start to love the game. As a young child, watching the Yankee baseball and seeing that team and how they connected and the chemistry. And, you know, they had their guys that were marquee names. But if you look at that team, they really didn't have one set superstar. It was truly a 25-man effort. From Shane Spencer coming up in August to really dominate, to guys like Tino Martinez, Scott Brosius, Chuck Knobloch. Knobloch was honestly the biggest move that Brian Cashman, who at the time was in his first year as the general manager, made during that offseason. That team just gelled well together. And to be able to watch and listen to the stories that were told through the YES Network and through interviews from the players talking about their time and what they remember, it was a great time to reminisce over some great moments in Yankee history. And it was a weekend that I hope that everybody was able to watch and be a part of. And for those of you who were able to be at the stadium, I bet it was an amazing experience to watch. You know, things like that don't happen very often. Special teams like that don't come every day. So to be able to witness it and kind of relive it through the memories was a nice touch for the Yankees. Paul O'Neill said it best on the broadcast that day. Nobody does winning better than the New York Yankees. The Yankees celebrate winning like no other in sports. And it's true. You know, the history is rich. We all know the stories and whatnot. The Yankees just find a way to reconnect everybody and bring everybody together. And it's a very nice thing as a fan, especially when you grew up watching it and you could see guys that you might not have seen in a long time. Yes, you see the Paul O'Neills and the David Cones, the Tino Martinez's of the world. But rarely do you see guys like Shane Spencer and some guys who are on that team that kind of drift into the away from the spotlight once their career's over. So as a fan, it was definitely a special moment, fun to watch, and I'm sure that the Yankees are planning something very similar for next year when the 1999 team will hit their 20th anniversary as well. Ball game starts, and the Yankees picked up where they left off. Able to get a couple of runs in early for Luis Severino. By the third inning, he was up 6-0. Another starter the Yankees were able to chase out before the end of the fifth. Severino looked good. Finally, he looked good. You know, the first five innings of that game, Severino was showing signs of being the Severino we were accustomed to early on in the year. Yes, a little bit of a controversial call by Boone to send him out for the start of the sixth inning. Severino was near 90, I believe 94 pitches at that point. Yankees trying to get a little more out of their ace. Unfortunately, Severino struggled at the beginning of the inning, forced Boone to take him out. Canley didn't have it, struggled out of the bullpen throwing 30 pitches. Holder was able to come on and kind of close the inning there for him. Game got a little close and ended up being 11-6. Yankees had to push across a couple more runs, a couple more home runs in that game. You had Gregorius Stanton, who seems to be hitting everything these days, and Miguel Andujar, Mr. Extra Base Hit. The key home run from that game, and we'll talk about it a little bit later on, is Greg Bird. And yes, it was, as many people say, a quote-unquote garbage time home run. Yankees were up, the lead was secure, eighth inning. But hopefully that's going to lead to better things for Greg Bird, who has really struggled. And like I said, we'll get into that in a little bit. And then you look at the series finale on Sunday. And man, this was a great game for the Yankees. And it's not every day that your first six guys score. The Yankees scored six runs in the first inning, all off their first six hitters. They were able to chase the Blue Jays starter after, I believe it was only two-thirds of an inning. Really struggled out of the gate. Yankees were able to capitalize on it. Ended up scoring 10 runs in the ball game. J.A. Happ, once again, looked solid. Again, another situation like Severino. Nearing that pitch count at the end of five, Yankees decide to send him out for the sixth. Happ wasn't able to get out of the sixth. Was able to get one out, but ended up giving up another run in that sixth inning. Again, Yankees starting pitching. You see signs of life and signs of good things to come. And then you just have that one setback type of inning that you hope doesn't impact a guy like Severino who's been struggling. Happ's been brilliant at Yankee Stadium. We'll talk about him in a few minutes as well. He's a guy that you might have to make an argument could start the American League wildcard game. The way he's been pitching, especially if the game's in the Bronx, he might be the guy the Yankees turn to. The major part of this game, the injury to D.D. Gregorius. The Yankee shortstop was running to first base on a play, was able to beat it out. Blue Jays first baseman Kendrys Morales kind of lunged into foul territory to get the ball and collided with Didi, who ended up hurting his heel. According to manager Aaron Boone, a significant bruise to that heel. Didi expected to probably miss some time. It looks like the DL is probably likely for him. That's going to have a major impact on the Yankees, especially with Judge and Sanchez out. Yankees are going to have to figure out something in the time that they're going to lose Gregorius. And the likely solution is probably to shift Torres over from second base to short and have the likes of Ronald Torres and Tyler Wade kind of take the reps at second base for the time being. To be honest, the way that the Didi Gregorius injury pans out, adding a guy like Wade doesn't necessarily hurt you. It benefits you because Wade has the versatility to play multiple positions. And yes, a lot of fans are calling for Shane Robinson to be released or optioned to the minor leagues if they can get him through waivers. However, Wade's a guy that has been playing a lot of right field and a little bit of center field in the minor leagues and is a natural infielder. So while Didi's on the mend, you know, a guy like Wade maybe can spark some energy, play multiple positions, especially give guys days off. The Yankees have played 124 games this year. Didi has been in the lineup for 118 of those. So on a lineup that you see a lot of guys getting days off, you saw Aaron Judge getting a lot of DH days. Gary Sanchez, day games after night games, you know, typical catcher type of thing. He wouldn't catch. Stanton doing a lot of DHing. Even Andujar getting a couple of DH days. A little bit of rest for Didi wouldn't hurt. You just hope that the injury doesn't prolong. The Yankees are in a decent spot right now if they put him on the disabled list. They have the day off on Monday. Then they go to Miami for two. Then they have another day off on Thursday. You might be able to capitalize by when they place him on the DL where he only misses a couple of games. Yes, you need Didi in the lineup. But when there's days off coming, it actually benefits the Yankees, especially with this injury, because you don't want to rush Didi back. You need to make sure that he's 100% when he returns so you don't have any lingering injuries down the stretch. Yes, not ideal, but I think the Yankees can manage through it for the time being due to their versatility, and they might now be forced to get another outfielder. They might have to go out and maybe make a late waiver wire move. Right now, it's uncertain what the Yankees' position is, and we'll have to wait on the official word for Didi. But the Yankees, given their circumstances, might have to make a move before that deadline. They might decide they don't have to. You know, they can look at this and say, you know, Sanchez is about a week and a half out. Judge, there's still no timetable on him. And Didi, you hope that the injury isn't as severe as you hope. You know, you hope it's a minimum time. They might be able to get away with the likes of Wade and Torres, and you move Gleyber over the short. I feel like they have enough versatility to get by, especially now with, you know, a guy like Neil Walker getting more reps in right field. Hopefully Stanton's able to play right field eventually, where you can take that DH spot and kind of move guys around. So I think the Yankees have the pieces to move it to be versatile enough. It's a matter of whether or not they feel that same way. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take a look at Greg Bird, and the last two games have been really telling for him, and hopefully it's going to lead him onto bigger and better things. And also later on, we'll talk about Miguel Andujar and Giancarlo Stanton, two guys who have really been impressive. We'll take a closer look into their second half numbers right here. Pinstripe Talk. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting @Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we are back on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Prior to the break, we discussed the Yankees' last series against the Toronto Blue Jays, talked about the Didi Gregorius injury and how that impacts the Bronx Bombers moving forward. Now let's take a look at some other offensive guys that can really benefit the Yankees down the stretch. And let's start off with the guy who's been absolutely bad recently, and that's Greg Bird. You know, as Greg Bird was coming through the Yankee system, a lot of people felt that he was going to be the guy that was going to end up being the best pure hitter in this lineup. With a lot of guys that strike out a lot or tend to have a high swing and miss ratio, Bird was supposed to be that guy that had that power but could also hit for average and knew how to hit. But it's been a real struggle for Greg Bird. If you look at his first half, he was hitting .214. He had 8 homers and 21 RBIs. In 28 games in the second half, he's been hitting .206. And the power numbers have not been there. Only 3 home runs so far. Now, when you look at that second half number with the 3 home runs, 2 of which have come in the last 2 games. We talked about his quote-unquote garbage time home run against the Blue Jays in the second game of the series. That might have been what Greg Bird needed to get back on track. Because then, in the final game of the series on Sunday, you saw Greg Bird hit a monstrous grand slam in the first inning that really made you remember why this guy is up and why this guy is the Yankees' everyday first baseman. Don't forget, Bird hit that home run against Andrew Miller in the playoffs, and a lot of people felt like that was his welcome call. Like, that was going to be the moment that led Greg Bird to be this dominant force at first base. Yes, he's been healthy, and it's great that he's been healthy. The Yankees anticipated that he was going to start a lot of games for them at first base. However, the results haven't been there. And like we talked about in the last episode, it kind of seems like Bird is content with just being healthy and playing. Now, mind you, I firmly believe that that's not the case, and I feel like the way his interview went misinterpreted what he feels, because I just feel as if Bird was not going to come out and say, yeah, I'm struggling, you know, it's really bothering me. I think Bird was trying to give it a positive outlook because he already knows that he's been a sign of concern for a lot of people in the organization and Yankee fans around. There's been a lot of people who have been calling for Bird to be released, or they need to replace him. What I would say to you fans is slow down. Take a deep breath. And let's see what he does in the rest of the second half. I'm hoping that the last two games were a bit of a wake-up call for Greg Bird. You know, a guy like him, you could see the swing. When you watch his swing, it's very fluid. It's a really nice-looking swing. He just has to get more aggressive within the strike zone. I feel like that's what he's been working on, and I think that he's going to end up waking up and being one of the Yankees' hottest hitters down the stretch. In a time where the Yankees could really need him, this is his time to step up. This is his moment where he could become a fixture in the Yankees lineup. With Gregorius possibly out, Judge still out, heck, you're still without Sanchez, the Yankees need offense. And Greg Bird is a guy that can produce. In the middle of the Yankees lineup, they can really use him to step up and be the guy that they think he can be. So you just hope and you keep your fingers crossed that that's the moment that those two home runs are going to get him out of his slump. And he's going to be able to figure it out. Because the Yankees do need him. They can't afford him to hit 148 like he is in the month of August. They need him to produce. Heck, I would take his July numbers. In July, he posted a .265 batting average with 4 homers and 19 RBIs in 23 games. I would take that. And I think that 95% of Yankee fans would sign up for that every day. We're not asking him to hit 45 to 50 home runs and hit .330. We're just asking for production from the first base spot. And I firmly believe that Greg Bird could be the guy. It's a matter of if he can prove it or not. You know, they say it takes over 1,000 at-bats to really get a good idea of what a player is going to be on a big league setting. And right now, Greg Bird's at 622 plate appearances over 3 years. And you wouldn't believe it, being that this guy's been injured so much. But that's where he's at so far. And the numbers haven't really been that great. You know, .220 batting average, OBP, .310, .449 slugging, 31 homers, 94 RBIs. You hope for a little more from the batting average standpoint. In Yankee Stadium, Bird's a guy that his power should be utilized. But you just hope that he's able to figure it out offensively. And yes, I don't think the Yankees are ready to give up on him. I don't think that it's a situation where if he struggles mightily, they're going to move on from him. I think that they're worried about him, but I don't think it's that point where it's a dire necessity to fill the void. If Brian Cashman wanted, you don't think that he can go out and acquire a Daniel Murphy from the Nationals and plug Murphy in at first base every day? Cashman has the necessities to do it. But they choose not to. Yes, the luxury tax is important to them. They want to stay under the luxury tax. But if Cashman felt that it was such a big need, just like outfield help, he would have pulled the trigger, especially if the price was right. So right now, don't give up on Bird. Give him some time. Let's see what he can do. Got a couple more weeks left in the season. Maybe he can turn it around. Maybe he can be an asset in this lineup. But only time will be able to tell. And we're going to have to wait it out and see. Two guys that have really been impressive, and we all know how well they've been hitting, Giancarlo Stanton and Miguel Andujar. I'm going to start with Stanton. You know, this guy got ripped at the beginning of the year. In March and in April, combine them, he played in 28 games and struck out 43 times. He ended up with a .230 batting average. So now, early on, I remember sitting watching Yankee games and hearing the boos at Yankee Stadium. He was crucified. He was not the National League MVP that the Yankees acquired. He was a shell of what the Yankees thought they would get. But ever since, you see Stanton starting to get accustomed to New York and getting accustomed to his role with the team. And he's really been phenomenal. In July and August alone, he's been hitting. He hit .323 in July, .324 in August, 13 homers between the two. Stands at 8 homers in August. His most this season was 8 back in June, in 27 games. Now, he's been dealing with a hamstring injury that has limited him in the field, but he's still been able to produce. And at a time when the Yankees need him the most, he has stepped up. It's been fun to watch Stanton hit, because you think he could go yard at any point. Any bit of time, you feel like he's someone who could just take the ball out of the ballpark, especially in Yankee Stadium. And the funny thing is this. A lot of people say that, you know, the Yankees' stats are padded because they play at Yankee Stadium. Well, if you look at Stanton's numbers, he actually hits better on the road. In 62 games at home, Stanton's hit 17 homers, .242 batting average. On the road, 59 games, .328 batting average, and 15 homers. Yes, the power's a little bit better at home. Two home runs is not that big of a difference. But Stanton's been producing on the road as well. In some very tough places to play. You know, it's no walk on the beach to go to Fenway Park and play there. So I give credit to Stanton, not only for bouncing back from that horrific start to the season and a start that he definitely wanted to avoid, but to be able to be so productive in a time when the Yankees need him. And the Yankees need to hope that he can continue to, A, stay healthy and get the hamstring right so he can play the field eventually, and B, just be that force in the lineup that they expected him to be. With a guy like him, the strikeouts are going to come. It's obvious. He's a guy that has a high swing and miss ratio. But when you see him putting the ball in play, when he puts the barrel on the ball, he hits the ball hard. You see, even his singles and doubles, they're rockets off the bat. Stanton's locked in, and that's very ideal for the Yankees, who definitely benefit from having him hitting the ball as well as he is. And again, the other guy I want to talk about, Miguel Andujar. If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Andujar would arguably be the most valuable piece in the Yankees lineup come the middle of August, I probably would have laughed at you. Because you look at Judge, a guy who won the American League Rookie of the Year last year and dominated. Gary Sanchez, a 30-plus home run power catcher. Giancarlo Stanton, like we mentioned, the reigning NL MVP. But Miguel Andujar has been the guy that has got the Yankees going and kept the Yankees going. If you watch any Yankee games recently, it seems like Andujar can't get out. Hitting .361 in the second half. His first half numbers were good. 84 games, you know, hit the 12 homers, .279 batting average. But he has just turned it up in the second half. Especially in August. The power numbers have really shown. He already has 7 home runs in the month. So you have to give credit to Andujar for really stepping up. Yeah, he's been struggling a little defensively. But that's something that the Yankees can rectify. He could work on that during the offseason. He can continue to take reps at third base and get better. Let's remember, people forget, he's 23 years old. He has a lot of room to grow still. He's a guy who is a free swinger. It really knows how to command the zone. It seems like whatever anywhere that the pitch is, he could get to it. It's very fun to watch Andujar, and the Yankees have something special with him. If Andujar continues to hit at this pace or continues to even be close to what he's been doing, he's a lock for the American League Rookie of the Year award. Everybody would have thought that, you know, Gleyber Torres was a lock at the beginning of the year, especially when he came up and he was hitting the way he was. Not so much anymore. Now it's a race between, arguably, Andujar and Shohei Ohtani from the Angels. Right now, I would have to say that Andujar deserves it, because where would the Yankees be without his production? He's been so valuable to them, and it's funny. I still laugh, you know. I'm a big Manny Machado fan, and if the Yankees were able to make a trade for him and acquire him and bring him into the mix, I would have been happy. You know, Machado's a great ball player, arguably one of the top 10 players in the game. But for the people who still say to trade Andujar due to his defensive struggles, it amazes me. You know, you might have a once-in-a-generation type of talent here. And until he proves otherwise, I wouldn't let go of this guy. He's too special to let go. To be honest, looking ahead, and there's a lot of baseball left to be played, I personally would be very content with going into 2019 with Sanchez behind the plate, Andujar at third, possibly a Didi extension at short, even though he has 1 year left on his deal, and Gleyber Torres at second. And then you look at what Greg Bird could do at first base, and you hope that he can be the guy. You might not have to overspend on an asset to fill that infield. You can use your assets and your financial space to improve elsewhere. You know, Robertson's a free agent. The Yankees might elect to bring him back. Might also elect to maybe sign a Zach Britton, or re-sign him, or even reunite with a former friend, Andrew Miller. Bring in some starting pitching. The Yankees have more needs that they could fill. If Andujar could continue to be the guy at third base, you have to embrace it. Unless you're getting a Jacob deGrom or a top-line starting pitcher for Andujar, there's no point in trading him. The Yankees need to realize that Andujar has a big spot in their future. And between him and Torres, Judge, the Yankees are creating a nice nucleus that they could ride into the future and be content with riding into the future at the low price due to the fact that none of these guys are eligible to be free agents until the early 2020s. The Yankees can have a somewhat of a dynasty brewing right before their eyes. And let's hope they are able to cap it off and bring in the right pieces to finish the puzzle. So we're going to take one more quick break. We're going to come back, talk about the American League West and a pitcher in the Yankees starting rotation that's really been good at Yankee Stadium. Would he be a guy that should get the ball in the AL wildcard game if the Yankees are in that game? All that and more here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast with your host, Nick Delahanty. Hey everyone, this is Nick Delahanty, the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We are proud to announce that we are now live on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to our show, and make sure you also rate our show and give us a review. Let your voice be heard. And we are back to the Pinstripe Talk podcast. As you just heard in our last commercial, we are now live on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to the show. Get all our latest shows right to your phone or device. Also, feel free to give us a rate and leave some comments and reviews for our podcast. Also, you can find us on Simplecast, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio. If you'd like your voice to be heard or like to comment on something you've heard on the show, make sure you follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. My personal account is at Nick_Delahanty. You can also shoot us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. Now, Now that the promos are done, let's get back into the Yankee talk. The American League West is going to have a big impact on the Yankees. Why is that? That's simple. The wild card. Right now, Yankees look like they're going to be in that wild card game. 9.5 games is a lot to come back from in the division. But who the Yankees play in that game is going to dictate how much the Yankees should be concerned with that ball game. Yes, a one-game playoff is something that is scary beyond belief. You work all season, and the Yankees have a chance to possibly win 95 to 100 games. You're going to win 95 to 100 games and possibly have to play for a one-game playoff to save your postseason life. Now, the American League West is arguably, and you could say it right now, the closest division in the American League. Maybe even the most competitive in baseball. You have the Astros, who many expected to be where they're at. You know, they're a special ball club. However, due to injuries, and they've been struggling 3-7 over their last 10, the gap has narrowed in the division. The Oakland A's, who seem to be the hottest team in baseball right now, are only a game back in the division, and Seattle's only 4.5 out. So you have three teams battling for that one spot. And if you're the Yankees, which team do you want to win the division? Do you want to go up against the Astros again in a one-game playoff? Last time, Keuchel got the better end of them, but it's likely that you might see a Gerrit Cole or a Justin Verlander. Heck, Keuchel might even be on the mound again. Or do you want to take your chances against an Oakland team who, kind of like you were last year, Oakland's a little ahead of schedule. Nobody really expected the A's to do much damage this year. But Oakland's been really good recently, and they've been really, really battling in that division. You got to give them credit. Nobody expected this, and they're right in the middle of the race. Yes, there's still a lot of time left. However, Oakland looks like they're here to stay. And then you look at Seattle. You just get Robinson Cano back from his 80-game suspension. And yeah, you know, Cano can't play in the playoffs, but you have to give credit to this Mariner team who, even with King Felix pitching like not King Felix, you have to give them credit. They're still in this race. Would you want to go up against a James Paxton in a one-game playoff? We took to Twitter to ask who you'd rather play out of the three. And, of course, Seattle was the overwhelming favorite, followed by Oakland and Houston. If you're the Yankees, I think that it doesn't matter who you play. I think you have to hope to play the team that isn't clicking at that time. It might sound weird, it might sound cliche, but you have to take into consideration Houston has a lot of injuries right now. You know, Correa's missed time, Springer's missed time, Altuve. When they're healthy, they're arguably the best team in the league. Do you want to play that in a one-game playoff, especially if you have to go on the road? Or do you want to go to the West Coast to play an Oakland or a Seattle for a one-game playoff and then have to travel back to start a division series? It's going to be a tricky situation for the Yankees, but unfortunately, it's out of their control. And they're just going to have to wait it out and see. But for Yankee fans, I would keep an eye on this division race because this is going to play a major impact in the Yankees' postseason. The Yankees are ultimately likely to face one of those three teams. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next month and a half. Now, speaking of the Yankees in that one-game playoff, if you were Aaron Boone right now, who would you have on the mound in that game? You could go with the easy answer of Luis Severino. You know, he is your guy. He's the guy that the Yankees expect to be their ace. And a lot could happen over the next month and a half, but Severino hasn't been great in the second half. Yes, he had a good start against the Blue Jays. It could have been better, it could have been longer, but it's a sign of good things to come, hopefully. Do you trust him with the ball? Do you give the ball to Masahiro Tanaka? Guy you're paying a lot of money, you know, a guy who you hope could step up in the big spot. Right now, I wouldn't give the ball to either one of them. Right now, I would give the ball to J.A. Happ in that game. And here's why. Through his first four starts with the Yankees, Happ is 4-0 with a 2.22 ERA. He became the first pitcher to win his first start with the Yankees since David Cone did in 1995. Now, Happ has been really good at Yankee Stadium. His last seven starts, he's 7-0, 2.42 ERA. Opponents only hitting 185 against him. In a tough ballpark to pitch in, Happ's been great. Those are the most straight wins at Yankee Stadium for a pitcher since Clemens in 2001. So you have to be impressed with what Happ did. And before he was traded to the Yankees, Happ mentioned that he liked pitching in New York. He liked pitching at Yankee Stadium. Let's face it, it's not a cakewalk to pitch in that ballpark. So for Happ, he's been really good. He's been more than what the Yankees have hoped for when they got him in the trade. You know, they gave up a lot with Drury and McKinney. And Happ has really been a guy that they can rely on. And if that game's at Yankee Stadium, he's the guy that I want on the mound. Especially right now, the way he's been throwing the ball. And if that continues, I think Aaron Boone's going to have an interesting decision on his hand. Do you go with your ace, who might not be at his ace form? Or do you go with the guy who's been most effective at your home ballpark? I think it's going to play into consideration, especially given if you win that game, you're going to have to worry about the next series right away. So the Yankees are in a spot where if Happ could get them five or even six, turn the game over to the bullpen, and hopefully you're moving on. It's going to be very interesting to see how the second half plays out. Still a lot of baseball left to be played. Still a lot to be determined. Still a lot of close races in baseball. The Yankees are one of the most interesting stories to watch, as always, because of not only their name, but because of what they've been dealing with. We all know the deal. No Judge, no Sanchez, possibly no Gregorius now. Major League Baseball and fans around the world are waiting to see how this team responds. Can they sustain staying in this race? Because let's face it, nothing is set in stone. They might be way out of the division race, but things could change over the next month and a half. Boston could struggle. Nobody's perfect. Or the Yankees could struggle and could find themselves looking on the outside in terms of the AL wildcard race. There's a lot of baseball left to be played, and nothing is guaranteed and nothing is clinched yet. So we'll have to see what the Yankees can do moving forward if they can continue to play good baseball. The schedule's not that tough coming up. A lot of beatable teams. Let's see what the Yankees can do, and let's see if they can continue to hold on to that top AL wildcard spot, because let's face it, playing that game in Yankee Stadium is going to be a lot better for them than going on the road, especially if it ends up being to the West Coast. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Pinstripe Talk. Once again, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Follow me on Twitter at Nick_Delahanty. Also follow our Twitter page for our show at Pinstripe Talk ND. Also feel free to shoot us an email, PinstripeTalk@gmail.com. Continue to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We appreciate all the listens. You can also find us on Simplecast, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. We hope that you continue to enjoy our show. Continue to tune into our podcast. Feel free to share it along on social media. Once again, we hope you enjoyed. And make sure you continue to tune into the Pinstripe Talk podcast here on Apple Podcast Radio. We'll see you next time, and as always, go Yanks!